Der Führer, according to Mussolini, was a gramophone with just 7 tunes, and once he had finished playing them, he started all over again. But their differences were hardly just personal. Italian fascist ideologues went to great lengths to distance themselves from the Nazi strains of racism and anti-Semitism. Even extremist ultra-fascists, such as Roberto Fernacci and Giovanni Preziosi, who was a raving anti-Semite personally and later became a Nazi toady, wrote that Nazism, with its emphasis on parochial and exclusivist racism, was offensive to the conscience of mankind. In May 1934, Mussolini probably penned and surely approved an article in Garaccia deriding Nazism as 100% racism. Against everything and everyone, yesterday against Christian civilization, today against Latin civilization, tomorrow, who knows, against the civilization of the whole world. Indeed, Mussolini doubted that Germans were a single race at all, arguing instead that they were a mongrel blend of 6 different peoples. He also argued that up to 7% of Bavarians were dim-witted. In September of that same year, Mussolini was still referring to his sovereign contempt for Germany's racist policies. 30 centuries of history permit us to regard with supreme pity certain doctrines supported beyond the Alps by the descendants of people who did not know how to write and could not hand down documents recording their own lives at a time when Rome had Caesar, Virgil, and Augustus. Meanwhile, the Nazi ideologues derided the Italians for practicing kosher fascism. What Hitler got from Italian fascism, and, as indicated above, from the French and Russian revolutions, was the importance of having an idea that would arouse the masses. The particular content of the idea was decidedly secondary. The ultimate utility of ideas is not their intrinsic truth, but the extent to which they make a desired action possible. In Hitler's case, the destruction of your enemies, the attainment of glory, and the triumph of your race. This is important to keep in mind because Hitler's ideological coherence left a great deal to be desired. His opportunism, pragmatism, and megalomania often overpowered any desire on his part to formulate a fixed ideological approach. Hermann Rauschning, an early Nazi who broke with Hitler, encapsulated this point when he famously dubbed Hitler's movement the Revolution of Nihilism. According to Rauschning, Hitler was a pure opportunist devoid of loyalty to men or ideas, unless you call hatred of Jews an idea, and willing to break oaths, liquidate people, and say or do anything to achieve and hold power.